Elder Larry Wise from Bethany Primitive Baptist Church in Acre, Mississippi, with "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Text starting in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24.
You know, I believe it was, the scripture says, Paul says, rejoice.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't enough, he says again, I say, rejoice. So, we all need to be shown again, don't we?
Right.
Like John the Baptist, when he was down in the prison house, he needed to be shown again.
Right.
He said, is the Lord come or do we look for another?
Right.
And he sent two of his disciples up, you know, to inquire. Jesus sent them back after they had witnessed something miraculous. And he said, you go and show John again that the blind, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached.
Right.
I trust we are among those poor here this morning, that we have the gospel preached unto us, and we can rejoice in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Brother David called on me. I wasn't really expected to preach this morning, but I appreciate the opportunity to try to preach. I would have to say this: the Lord never tried anything.
Right.
I've tried a lot of things and come up short, but
right.
The Lord never tried to do anything. It's nothing too hard for Him. It was easy. All He's got to do is speak, and it's done. Psalms 33 and 9 says, He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I want to turn to the third chapter of Colossians. It being the Lord's will, I didn't have this on my mind when I came down here. You know, a preacher ought to get something on his mind if he's going to a meeting in case that he might be called upon. But I didn't have this text on my mind when I came. I had something else, but somehow, as these brethren have preached, my mind had been drawn to this particular statement by Paul in the third chapter of Colossians. Verses 23, he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward or the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we serve the Lord, you know. And of course the Lord isn't here in person, but His brethren are. And so we serve Him by serving those. Matthew 25 and 40 says, as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You know, we think about doing a lot of things sometimes, but you know, sometimes those thoughts need to be put into action. You know, we need to pray. As my uncle, I've heard him say, he's going to be with the Lord now for many years. But he said, sometimes, you know, prayers need legs. What? It has to be put into action. That we might pray for a good job, or, you know, but, you know, usually jobs don't just come and drop in your lap. You have to make some kind of effort to apply for that job, to send out a resume or something like that. And so that's true. But, you know, here he's talking about doing, isn't he? He says, whatsoever you do. He's in the context, he's talking about servants, obeying in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. There's a singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, if this be true in a natural sense, how much more are we to serve our heavenly master? The one who has bled and suffered and died, as we've so ably heard portrayed in us here this morning, that we owe our allegiance and our service to Him who has done so much. He's done so much for me. You know, my Uncle Stanley's favorite songs are one of them. He had a lot of favorites. the Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name all my remaining days, and His truth I would defend. To defend the truth of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what I desire to do. And so he says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, heartily. And when Brother Honey talked about the heart there, I thought of this heartily here. That, you know, you can sin with all your heart. And I do that. But I don't desire to do it. I don't desire to do it. And the reason why is because I trust the Lord has given me a new heart, as he quoted there from Ezekiel 36 and 26. When he says, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh. The scripture says that we're to love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind. I don't believe the Lord ever tells us to do anything that we don't have the ability to do. And when the Lord gives us that faith that He gives us to utilize, not just to, you know, faith without works is dead, isn't it?
Right.
It's just no good. Not using it doesn't do us any good.
Right.
Faith without works is dead. But we are to use that faith to serve the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do, just do it heartily. You know, Paul was doing what he thought was right, and he was doing it heartily when he was killing people and putting them in prison and consenting to the death of Stephen as he held the coats of the garments of those that stoned him to death. He witnessed all that. And the scripture doesn't say he said amen. But he was consenting to it, the scripture says. And in the ninth chapter, he says, and Saul yet breathing out slaughters and threatenings. And it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, what comes out of a man that defiles him. And in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in verse 34, it says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things, and he is breathing out slaughters and threatenings. But then the Lord apprehended him. And you know, I've heard him say, you know, when Saul made that decision on the road to Damascus, well, I'd like to know what decision they made. I think the Lord had already made the decision.
Yeah, he did, right.
The Lord had already chosen him. Matter of fact, he says he's a chosen vessel hear my voice and to know my will and to bear my name before kings and the people of God. And the Lord struck him down, blinded him, and he fell down. And he says, Lord, Lord, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, go and inquire into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou what must do.
Yeah.
You go into this city and inquire, and it will be told thee what thou must do. Well, he's going to be told something to do that he didn't have a desire to do just a few minutes ago. He didn't have a desire to do what Ananias is going to tell him to do. And Ananias is going to tell him, why tarriest thou, Paul, Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Here he's trying to stamp out the name of the Lord and now call upon the name of the Lord. What thou must do. You know, that's what God's children must do if they're going to what? Serve the Lord. If they're going to serve the Lord. They'll be told you what thou must do. What? There was a preacher that was sent to him. There was a preacher, and that man Ananias. And I don't remember reading any more about Ananias in the Scripture. But that don't matter. The Lord's used him to serve a purpose. What? To go and tell this man that the Lord had already apprehended what thou must do. And what was it? Arise and be baptized. He couldn't preach unless he's baptized. He couldn't serve God unless he's baptized to the extent that the Lord had called him to do.
Right.
And now he says, whatsoever you do at heart. There's a lot of preachers here today, and I'm sure every time they get up, they put their heart and soul into it. They preach with heart. Well, when you come to the house of God, you ought to need to worship with all your heart.
Yeah.
You need to do it heartily.
Yeah.
When it's time to come to go to the house of God, you know, we aren't to drag around like we got been drowned in pickle juice and be ready to where to go with excitement and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and because we're doing something, aren't we? I heard it told by other preachers that there is a lady come to the house of God and she couldn't hear it thunder. So why do you go to the house of God? You can't hear anything the preacher says. You can't hear the singing. But she said, I just want to show whose side I'm on. I'm on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Yes, children of God, we need to show whose side we're on. Yeah. The Lord's side. And I tell you, that's who I want to be on, the Lord's side, because I remember reading over in the book of Exodus just this week, chapter 32, when Moses asked the question, who's on the Lord's side?
Yeah.
And they had made that molten calf because they didn't know what had become of Moses. And he says, who's on the Lord's side? And the sons of Levi came over here. That was one that's on the Lord's side. And then he told him to put every man's sword by his side. And then he told him what to do. He says, slay every man, his brother and his neighbor. Told him what. And they did it.
Yeah.
They did it. Yeah. But God told him to do that. He did it. Well, you know, Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? And a matter of fact, the scripture says over here in the third chapter of Hebrews, even as Moses was faithful in all his house, so is the Lord Jesus Christ faithful in all his house. But he that buildeth the house hath more glory than the house. So who's our glory to? It's to glorify the Lord, isn't it? Isn't that what the leper come back and said? Wasn't there 10 that were cleansed? Where is the 9? But only this one has returned to give the glory to God, and he is a Samaritan. One that the Jews would have no dealings with. A Samaritan. Shall he return to give the glory to God? That's what serving God is. Giving the glory to God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. You know, as we try to preach the Word of God, we certainly want to do it heartily. You know, you may not believe what I say, as I heard Elder Sonny Pyle say one time, but I want you to know that I believe it.
Right.
And what's our authority? The Scripture. Whatsoever you do, I'm told to say it's whatsoever you do that God would have you do.
Right.
Not so ever what you would do that the devil would have you do. He would have you turn your back on God and do those things displeasing unto God, and you don't do that. He says, whatsoever you do, just do it heartily as to the Lord. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, after the washing of the saints' feet, the Bible tells us, if you know these things, happy are you if you think about them?
No,
he says, happy are you if you do them. If you do them. The Lord has called us to what? To do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Over in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, we read about Ruth and Naomi is her mother-in-law, and she is telling her about Boaz. And he's a type of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? Wash thyself and anoint thee and put on your raiment and get thee down to the floor and make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall come to pass when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. He will tell thee what thou shalt do. Children of God, here's God, our kinsman redeemer, and he will tell that what we shall do. And she did. She found grace in the eyes of Boaz. And children of God, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has told thee what thou shalt do. And He assumed that kinsman redeemer. Children of God, we got our kinsman redeemer that has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the bondage of sin. He's redeemed us from the fires of hell. 1 Peter 1:18 says, as much as you know that you aren't redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who verily was foreordained by the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And He's writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He's done it for you. I'm glad He's done it for you, but I'm also glad He's done it for me. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then why would I not want to what? Serve Him. That you might receive the reward of the inheritance. The inheritance you hadn't got yet. It's in heaven and immortal glory. And Peter describes it as one that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But children, well, we can experience the reward of that inheritance right here. He tells us in Ephesians 1 and 13, He says, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then He describes what it is. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And that's you and I and every other saint of God that's been redeemed and purchased by the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here's an earnest of that inheritance. It is a payment beforehand.
Right.
We get to experience a little taste while we're here. This is just a payment beforehand.
Amen.
Just a payment beforehand.
Right.
I remember Elder Norman Cooper. I know y'all don't because y'all are way too young. But he came from the state of Texas. And I remember him preaching so vividly at a Bethany church there that he's just a two-bit preacher from Texas, reading the will of God to the saints of God. And he had this a CD set up for his mama over here. She had a little money and fixed it up where she could draw a check upon that a CD, and she'd get a periodic check. And she began to worry about her money getting deteriorated. She'd been getting these checks that it was she'd soon wouldn't have any. And he tried to explain to her, Mama, you still got just as much money that you have up there. You're just drawing an interest on this check, but the money is still there. And children of God, we're just drawing interest.
Yeah.
On what? On what's already been laid up. It's been there for eternity. And we're just drawing interest.
Amen.
The Lord's getting us a payment beforehand. I'm glad He loved us enough to give us a payment beforehand. But children of God, there's a lot of people aren't drawing on the pay.
That's right.
They aren't drawing on that interest. Because why? They have trusted, believed the gospel of their salvation, and haven't been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The children of God, that don't mean they don't have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Oh no, it's only those that have the Holy Spirit that can what? Hear and believe.
Amen.
By that faith. You see, you can't separate those. They go hand in hand. And so He says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Over in the 14th chapter of Mark, I read this scripture. I always love to read this. He says, and 2 days of the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might make Him to crowd, but being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Well, here He is visiting Simon the leper. Well, as He sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Isn't it remarkable here in the scripture, as you read some of the great occasions in the Bible, that they're unnamed? I don't find she even given a name here. But I tell you what, the Lord knew her name. And by the way, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And you are to do it, what? To get recognition. Somebody to pat you on the back. You're to do it what? In the name of the Lord, whether you are recognized, there's one person that does recognize it. In a Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, he says this: God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you do minister to the saints and continue to minister. So that was something that was done. But God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He recognizes it, regardless of where your fellow man does or not. There's one who sees in heaven who does. And then he says, not only that, but you are to continue to do the same, to minister to the saints, to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, this isn't a one-time thing. This is a marathon journey. When you run your race with patience, as he tells us there in that 12th chapter of Hebrews, run that race with patience, looking unto Jesus' thought and finish your faith. It isn't a 100-yard dash, is it? It's a marathon race. And I trust we've all got that goal we're looking for. Paul tells us that in the 3rd chapter of Philippians. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. There, mark, there's a goal. And children of God, we need to have those goals. And that's the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pleasing who? Pleasing God. You know, I couldn't be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ and please every one of you out there and still please God.
That's right.
That's what he tells us in this first chapter of Galatians. He says, for I do now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Or I could not be a servant of Christ and please men. You see, what pleases God would not necessarily please men. And of course, we're to always please God, aren't we? So back to what we were reading here in the 14th chapter of Mark. That rabbit's done got away, so now we can go back to the 14th chapter of Mark. He says, and being in the house of Simon the leper, she poured that spikenard, precious. That means expensive, you know. This wasn't something, you know, that's something that might cost $1,000 an ounce like that price. I can't understand that. You know, go in there and find $50 an ounce for a perfume. I love my wife, but I don't want to spend $50 an ounce for some perfume. He said here, and by the way, it's a lot more expensive than that. He said, very precious, and she poured it all on his head. And what a waste. Oh no. But there were some that said, why was this waste? And there were some that had indignation within themselves. Why was this waste of ointment made? And there's some that would ridicule for you be, well, why are you going down there to that little church in, close to Ackerman, Mississippi on a Friday morning? What a waste. Children of God, this isn't a waste.
No.
When you're in the service of God, it's the best time that you could possibly spend. This is the best time you could possibly spend. I read this here just the last couple of weeks. Someone has said, you know, why worry? In the day you should be so busy you don't have time to worry. And at night so sleepy that you don't have time to worry. So if you're busy doing that which is good, busy doing that which is good, well then you won't have no time to worry, will you? I tell you what, there's always room for more to do, aren't there? Always. I find that, I guess there's just so much to do. You know, I think what this needs to be done, that needs to be done, and some things I ain't able to do, but there's so much to do. And so little time to do it. and so little time to do it. That's why, what? Your life is like a vapor.
Right.
It's here for a time and then vanishes away. It's quickly gone. So you might not have an opportunity to do that again. You better do it while you can. Do it while you can. As Elder Grady Kemp told me one time, he said, I tell him, you know, don't send me no flowers when I die. You send me some flowers while I'm alive. I want to see the benefits of it now, because I won't know nothing about it when you send those flowers when I die. But I'll know something about it when you give me those flowers while I'm alive. And he said, and that this could have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. They murmured against her. They murmured against Moses back in the Old Testament. But they were really murmuring against God.
Right.
Because he was God's servant. They were murmuring against God. And Jesus says, let her alone. Aren't you glad Jesus takes up for those let her alone? Don't trouble her. She hath wrought a good work on me. A good work. This is a good work. Has poured that expensive spikenard on his head. This is a good work. And faith without works is dead, but she had the faith to do it. She had wrought a good work on me. And Jesus said, if you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. You can do them good. You got that opportunity? Do them good. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, as you have there for opportunity, do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith. It's our obligation to do good unto all, but it's a special obligation to those who are of the household of faith. There's a special obligation. It's our privilege and our joy to minister to. And she had done what she could. She has come to anoint before. She has come to beforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. She had done what she could. And as I've said in times past, you know, oftentimes I would do this or I would do that. But I tell you, there's not any of us that done what we could. We went to a ball game where we could have done somewhere else.
Yeah.
We watched that movie where he could have done something else. He had done what she could. Let her alone. She come to anoint my body to the burying. Well, does Jesus pay any attention to this? Listen to what he says in the next verse. He said, I say unto you that whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world. Is it being preached down here in Macedonia today? He says, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. It's spoken of for a memorial of her. Did you know there's people dead today that their memorials are still speaking? In the 11th chapter of Hebrews in verse 4, we read about one of them. He says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by he being dead, yet speaketh. And look how long Abel's been dead. But yet his faith is still speaking. God testified of his gifts that he was righteous. But Jesus, the Redeemer, hadn't died yet. But he was just as much righteous as I'm righteous. And you're righteous because the blood of Christ went back and covered every saint prior to the cross, plus every saint after the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. He obtained a witness that he was righteous. And that's what I want. I want a witness that I'm righteous. Not because I have any of my own, but I want to know, have the witness that I'm righteous through the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by faith he obtained that.
Yeah.
Because God accepted it. But not before he had respect unto the man. You read that in Genesis chapter 4. He said he had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And to Cain and his offering he hath not respect. So in that sense, God is a respecter of persons. Whatsoever you do, he says, do it heartily as to the Lord. She done what she could. I trust if all of us could do what we could, the old Baptist would be flourishing.
Amen. That's right.
Because a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Yeah, it's here giving a light. It what? That it might attract those. And I believe it's in John. He says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. But he that doeth evil don't cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Come to the light. And he says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Well, we're supposed to be that light, aren't we? And then he tells us over in Philippians, that gets all of us. In the second chapter, when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He works in the will to do, but he don't do the doing.
That's right.
He don't do the doing. You got to do the doing. And he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And he says in the next verse there, that you may be blameless, harmless sons of God, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Yeah, blameless and harmless sons of God. What was it contingent upon? He says it was this, doing all things without murmurings and disputings. And you know, I've been told to do some things, you know, I didn't really care about doing when I was public working. But I did them anyway. I do a lot of things today I don't particularly like to do. But I do them anyway. But this, I love to do this.
Yeah.
You know, this is in the chore. This is not a burden. It's a responsibility, but it's still a blessing.
Amen.
And you know, and it says, give your heart to the Lord. Well, he don't have it till he cleans it up.
Amen.
And then when he cleans it up, then you can give it to the Lord.
Right.
He's the one that cleans that heart. And when he told Abraham, that in blessing I will bless thee and I will make thee a blessing. I cannot possibly be a blessing to anybody unless the Lord first blesses me. You cannot be a blessing to anyone else unless the Lord first blesses you. And then you can be a blessing. And when you minister to the saints of God, he's given you something to minister. He's given you something to give. And everybody's got something to give, children of God. You've been a born-again child of God, you've got something to give. And God is pleased with it when you do. God bless you, is our prayer.
Oh, please.